Today's reading is from John, chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. The word of God for the people of God.
Let's pray together. Loving and holy God, thank you so much for this day and for this opportunity for us to come and worship together. I ask this all in your Son's holy name. Amen. I'm wondering if any of you have ever heard of the butterfly effect. Wikipedia tells us the butterfly effect is a concept that small causes can have large effects. It was initially used in weather prediction, but later became a metaphor used in and out of science. One of the primary examples of this concept is that a flap of a butterfly's wings can cause a major weather event continents away. So a butterfly flaps its wings in Sierra Leone, West Africa, which causes a tiny disruption in airflow, and weeks later, we have a hurricane on the East Coast. The idea is that small changes can have big impacts. We also use this concept in our lives. When I think of the butterfly effect, a story that comes to mind is found in the Ken Burns documentary called Jazz. In it, Ken Burns talks about Mr. Karnofsky, a Jewish immigrant living in New Orleans in the early 1900s. Mr. Karnofsky's family sold coal with the help of his son and a young African-American boy. That African-American boy became part of the extended family, despite the racial differences that were abundantly present in the early 20th century. This young boy loved music and one day saw a beat-up cornet in the window of a store, and he desperately wanted that instrument. The Karnofskys lent the boy the money to purchase the cornet. And that boy was Louis Armstrong. You can say that music in America was shaped by that loan. Had young Louis Armstrong not started playing the trumpet, would jazz have spread around the country the way it did? If jazz had not spread, would we have the blues? If we didn't have the blues, would we have rock and roll? The Rolling Stones, the Beatles, Elvis Presley, Chuck Berry? It's a bit scary to think that alone made such a difference, that something so small as a few dollars could have such an impact. When I think about the butterfly effect, it makes me seriously consider the small acts that happen in succession that lead to a greater effect. With Louis Armstrong, we can say that American music had a turning point because of this loan to purchase a cornet, but as we dig deeper, there were other important factors that played a role. First, this loan was an act of kindness, but it certainly wasn't random. It happened because of a sustained relationship between Louis and the Karnofskys. There was a sense of community and friendship between the Karnofskys and Louis. In fact, it is said that Louis Armstrong wore a Star of David much of his life to pay homage to this relationship. Star of David right there. Second, Louis didn't grab this beat-up cornet and start belting out amazing tunes 3 hours later. It took practice and commitment. To be really good at something, you have to practice. I found that anything good in my life has come from working at it. Have you had a similar experience? Sometimes I got lucky, of course. But most of the time, growing and learning means being present and trying, even in the most mundane of ways. Friendship, parenting, building community, loving God, and loving neighbor all take practice. Just like learning a new skill, they must be cultivated. So we read from the Gospel of John, Jesus' words to his disciples. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. I love how Jesus, near the end of his earthly ministry, calls his disciples friends. These folks followed Jesus, prayed with him, learned from him, and accompanied him along his journey for a number of years. And sometimes they understood Jesus, and sometimes they didn't. Sometimes they did the right thing, sometimes they didn't. They did what friends do. Do you have friends that have walked in your life, with you in your life? Do you have friends that have been with you in times of immense joy and utter sadness? Do you have friends that drive you absolutely bonkers? Yeah, same here. Do you have friends that truly understand who you are? Jesus tells us there is no greater love than to lay one's life down for a friend. It's a powerful image for us today. This type of friendship is a wonderful and transcendent thing, but it's also a hard thing, and it does not happen overnight. Just like Louis Armstrong took years to master the cornet, friendship and community take time, but it takes more than just time. It requires us being present. If we want to move towards Jesus, if we earnestly want to be his disciples and his friends, it requires us being present in Christ's ministry to the world, even when we aren't prepared to do so. In his book, In the Name of Jesus, Henry Nouwen writes this: laying down your life means making your own faith and doubt, hope and despair, joy and sadness, courage and fear available to others as ways of getting in touch with the Lord of life. So what does it mean to be a friend of Jesus and thus a friend to others? Friendship requires vulnerability. Jean Vanier is a Catholic theologian who started La Arche, a community for adults with disabilities. There are homes around the world that were founded through his model of intentional living. In his interview with Krista Tippett, he talks about the vulnerability of God, and this is what he says, I quote, "And God doesn't want to enter into a relationship where God is obliging us to do something. The beautiful text in the Apocalypse, the book of Revelations, I stand at the door and I knock. If someone hears me and opens the door, then I will enter. What touches me there is God is knocking at the door, not kicking the door down, but waiting. Will you open? Do you hear me?" Unquote. Vulnerability is a part of the human condition and our spiritual nature, and yet we make so many efforts to hide our vulnerability. But if we want friendship and community, friends, there must be a sense of vulnerability among us. Friendship also requires love. The last verse of our scripture reading today puts it plainly. This is my command: love each other. I like to think that this is pretty straightforward. But I think it's fair to say that loving people is one of the hardest things in the world to do. Jesus constantly calls us to love our neighbors, to care for those on the margins or those who are suffering, to forgive those that have hurt us. And yet, it's a place that so many of us struggle. Love your God and love your neighbor as yourself. That is the Christian calling. These words should be imprinted on our hearts. Because if we want a just and loving world, loving God and loving neighbor must be integral in who we are. Friendship also requires consensus. One of the questions about friendship that persists in my mind is, can we live together in community with one another despite having varying beliefs and opinions? So today is Father's Day. It's my first Father's Day. That's my son, right? Yeah, it's awesome. Shameless plug, I know, but he's so cute. Gosh. To say that I'm excited about being a father would be an understatement. It's been the greatest joy. And now my wife and I are having to figure out how to raise our child together in such a way that we can be of one mind. And I know the parents in here are thinking, one mind? Really? Seriously? I have some stories to tell you, right? Robin and I, my wife and I, we have very different styles of parenting, which is already very apparent. And there is no doubt in my mind that we are going to struggle a lot, to work together to raise this little guy. My hope is, though, that we come to a consensus about what we value as a family. So at the end of the day, I hope my son Mac understands three things very well: kindness, generosity, and service. The question of community for us and for friendship asks if we can be of one mind with the things that matter the most. And as with parenting, I believe the answer is yes. As a church, I believe we can live in community even if we don't agree on every single issue. For me, what's been one of the most satisfying things about being at Floris is that we agree on so much. Since I have been at Floris, I feel safe saying that we tend to agree on the following things. We agree that living a life with and for Jesus matters, and that others should know this life too. We agree that we are called to serve our community and love those that suffer and love those who live on the margins of society. We also agree that we should be radically generous as God has been generous to us. Vulnerability, love, and consensus. These are the things that build friendship and community, and I believe those things are here. At the same time, I am fearful about friendship and community in today's society. We live in a world saturated with instant gratification, where we can pick and choose what we like and avoid the things that are hard. We are losing touch with the process of friendship and community. And there's a solution for that that's hundreds of years old. What we need more than anything today is sanctification, Christian sanctification. We need sanctification, but I think we need to modernize the language just a little bit. So let's say it's not sanctification we need, but rather, we just need to show up. So in this context, what does it mean to show up? It means we make efforts to pray. It means we make efforts to serve. It means we make efforts to love God and love our neighbor and to worship and praise together. It means that we attend to the things that God has called good and righteous and just. Showing up, friends, means trying even when it's hard. Showing up means being present even when we don't know what to do or what to say, the right thing to say, even if we don't know. Showing up is being willing to keep trying, even when we fail. Showing up means being okay with imperfection and brokenness. We are not always perfect friends or perfect spouses or perfect children or perfect Christians, but our presence and our efforts can make a difference. And if we want friendship and community, if we want to walk closer to Jesus, we have to be more interested in the process and take small steps. If we want to make any movement in our lives towards loving God and loving our neighbor, we have to keep showing up. And this is much different than our culture of, I want it, and I want it now. But let's remember, friends, that Jesus started with disciples, but he ended with friends. It did not happen overnight. And I imagine what type of community Jesus wanted. Going back to John's gospel, we read, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. Jesus calls us into a community where love prevails. Not hate or anger or divisiveness, but love. Jesus knows that the really good stuff takes time. He calls us to bear fruit that will last. Can I give you a really good real-world example of showing up? Barbecue. Yeah, no, it's a little silly. Barbecue. Can we first come to the consensus that barbecue is delicious? Because it is. Yes, thank you. I might have heard an amen out there. Thank you. I don't care if it's from Texas, from Kansas City, or North Carolina. I don't care if it's brisket, ribs, chicken, or sausage. I don't care if it's dry rub, wet rub, cooked with oak, maple, or charcoal. I don't care. It's all delicious to me. And while we have all these different flavors and types of cups of meat and all those things, there are two things that all of them have in common. They take time, and to get the flavor just right, it takes practice. So I guess the question would be, would you rather a brisket that cooked for 2 hours or 16? 16, right? That's the right answer. And in fact, just a shameless plug here, if you're in for some barbecue, we're going to have a food truck here tonight after the 5 o'clock worship service, and I believe they'll have brisket and all kinds of different cuts of meat cooked in different ways for different lengths of time. So please, by all means, it'll be a nice night too. It's always been my hope that we build a loving community, but we need to focus on the small steps and actions we take that may have enormous impacts in the future. Remember, we don't always need big pronouncements or grandiose ideas that may or may not work. We just need to show up, to inch closer and closer to God and neighbor. So what does that look like in our church, friends? It means joining a small group. It means giving time for special events that attract our neighbors. It means showing hospitality to those who visit our congregation. It means serving those at the margins. It means being with people who grieve. It means making an intentional effort to pray every day. It means giving your time and your resources, yourself, giving of yourself to advance the kingdom of God. Would it be great if you did all these things? Absolutely. But just try to do some of them. Be consistent and see what God has in store for you. Showing up is about the process. It's the gradual movement of coming closer to God and to your neighbor. And friends, the best time to start building community and friendship is today. The best time to love God and our neighbor is today. The best time to become a friend to Jesus is today. The best time to show up is now. And you've started that by being here. As we have seen with the butterfly effect, we never know what impact our time and energy may have in the world. Can you think in these last few moments together about moments in your life that you would consider butterfly effect moments? Can you think of times when you made small decisions that had huge implications for your life or for your life together with others? Can you think of times when others made small gestures to you that maybe made your grief lighter, that made you happy, that made your heart sing with joy? Maybe you received a thank you that made you feel like you made a difference. Maybe a song that was sung during worship changed the way you look at the world. I'm so sure that you could tell me so many stories. If you are on social media, we are starting a campaign called Why I Serve, where we'll be sharing stories from members of the church about why they give their time. I was able to meet with about 20 different people from the church that served in different ministries and in different ways. My hope is that you are inspired by them to do the same. These folks, like many of you, are showing up and building an amazing community. There is power in showing up, but we can be absolutely certain that if we do nothing, we won't be able to look down the road with the joy of knowing that our love mattered, that it made a difference in someone's life, that it made a difference in the world. In your bulletins, you will see an insert with some opportunities to make small steps towards greater community and friendship here at Floris. These are not big things, friends. These are small things, small ways for you to start showing up that can have large impacts down the road. I hope that you will take some time after the service, because you are getting out earlier than usual. I want to be that clear. Live stream, did you hear that? We're getting out a little bit more early than usual. I hope that you will take some time to fill this out and bring it to the gathering space, where we will have some coffee and some refreshments. Just take a few moments and think about how maybe writing that you're interested in serving as an usher or a greeter or helping with an event might impact someone's life. Not today, but maybe weeks from now, years from now, decades from now. Maybe you can be that person that shows that kindness and that love. Is that person you? Are you ready to show up? I like to think that Jesus wants to call us friends, just like he did the disciples. But we friends, we have to show up. And that's my prayer for you today, that you move closer and closer to loving God and loving neighbor, knowing that if you are a friend to Jesus, you will bear fruit that will last. Amen.